exactly. He's like, oh, okay, you're going to date Ronnie? Groundbreaking.
Yeah, that's brand new. Great.
Jughead's
and Archie's like, I've just met this woman.
You'll never believe this. Yeah, Jughead, you're not going to believe this. It's like the skull. Yeah. You're not going to believe this. Jughead, you're not going to believe this.
Hello and welcome to our Riverdale podcast, brought to you by the Aficionados Podcast Network. My name is Robin Jeffrey. I'm a 28-year-old actor and artist. I like brooding anti-heroes, feminist agendas, and I remember way too many details that no one else cares about. You can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey pretty much everywhere. And our fun fact for this episode is, if you could pick like a song from the 50s to play on the jukebox, what song would you pick? I, of course, had to Google songs that came out past 1955 this morning, and I'm going to choose Walkin' After Midnight by Patsy Cline for lost reasons, but I also wanted to give an honorable mention to Rockin' Robin.
Ooh, Rockin' Robin's a
tweet,
good one.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Thanks. That's a good jukebox one. Yeah.
It also fits for so many reasons.
Yeah.
You goofy. And my name is Brittany. I am a 33-year-old artist and writer. I like badass moms and long naps. I'm on Twitter, @Britannia, where I can be found attempting to be interesting and talking about my cat. And mine is, so it's this song that was just in Star Trek Picard. And the lyrics are, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to set a flame in your heart. And I just think that's so romantic. And so I like that one for right now.
All right. Great. Perfect.
Today we have words to say about episode 701 of Riverdale. Don't worry, darling. You know what?
Oh boy. And our
some worries, darling.
Some worry, yeah. And our step-by-step notes for this season were written by Sheila Daly, aka our friend Blanche. She is truly saving our asses this season.
This is
the first season in which both Brittany and I have a full-time job. Straight up the first season where I've had a full-time job putting out Riverdale podcasts weekly. And I've told her a million times, but like truly, I would have a breakdown. I would have had a breakdown like 3 weeks into this if she wasn't helping us out with this. So a million thanks to Blanche for helping us out this season. I cannot thank her enough.
Thank you, darling.
You're the best. So Don't Worry, Darling is a 2022 American psychological thriller film directed by Olivia Wilde. It stars Florence Pugh and Harry Styles. The film follows an idyllic housewife living in a company town who begins to suspect a sinister secret being kept from its residence by the man who runs it. I haven't seen the film. I'm gonna say I had no idea that's what it was about.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if you don't want spoilers, I won't tell you, but like,
okay,
it basically, it shares some of the aesthetics and the premise of being out of place. Mm-hmm. in an era, perhaps.
Right. That makes sense.
It's a perfectly fine film. It's not the best. It sure has the energy of a Netflix original movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was about to say, like, Don't Worry, Darling is such a, like, a strange title to name this episode because, like, it's such a recent film for something that takes place in the 50s. But now that you say that, like, it takes place, it's like a period piece. So, like, it actually makes total sense that they would have chosen this.
And the funny thing is, it's actually not a period piece. So that's exactly why it works.
It's not?
No.
Why is she wearing that stuff?
Do you want me to tell you?
I mean, I don't actually, I guess not, because I don't want to speak for the, like, listeners. If they haven't seen it, I wouldn't want them to get spoiled, so.
All right, well, I'll just tell you.
Oh, okay, I'm gonna cut this out.
Yeah.
Okay, what a strange spoiler. That spoiler was weird. Because it was a weird film. Okay, I mean, so weird to go back to this after having not done it for months, but I mean, hey, toot or boot, Brittany. Can you remind everybody what toot and boot is?
Toot or boot is a rating system we stole from RuPaul's Drag Race Fashion Photo Review, which you should absolutely watch if you're watching Drag Race, because it's where Raja and Raven toot, which is a compliment, or boot, get the hell out of here, the looks from the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race. We've also added in like a little bit of our own system to it. So like shoot is, we absolutely loved it, no notes. A newt, which I think that was the one that we invented, was I'm neutral on this.
I'm pretty sure they invented all of them.
The newt wasn't us?
No, I'm pretty sure that was them.
All right, well, you know what? Gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss, it's ours now.
Yeah, it's ours now.
I think, do we have one that's worse than a boot?
Yes, it's scoot.
Oh, scoot, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to give this one a fucking boot.
Okay.
Parts of it were really enjoyable. The concept is quite funny. The minute they brought Emmett Till in, I was like, no, this is a boot.
Yes, I definitely have complaints. I would say that ultimately I had a good time. I'm giving it a toot.
Fair enough.
Blanche did our notes for us, as I said, and she's covered it chronologically because it's kind of hard to pull any of this apart. So Brittany is going to say the point-by-point notes that Blanche is making and also her own thoughts. And Blanche also put in little notes that of things that she thought of while we were watching, and then I'll also say my own thoughts. So the first thing that Blanche says is just that as soon as the ep ended, she raced to her laptop to write about it, just like Jughead at the end of this episode.
I get it. The first time I watched this, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I have thoughts. I don't know. Okay, let's get going. We open with a cute new 50s theme song, Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and his Comets, complete with a little montage of each main character, which is Archie, Betty, Veronica, Cheryl, Gay Kevin, Tony, and Tabitha. I want you to know Gay Kevin is written specifically in the notes. And Blanche, I thank you for that.
And I want you to know that Kevin's name is never just Kevin in Blanche's notes, which I really love.
Yeah, it's Gay Kevin. And you know what? Yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's very sitcom-esque. The intro blends into the opening scene with the patrons of Pops dancing to said song. Remember when you used to like be able to just like dance in restaurants? That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Jughead starts to narrate about how different life is in the 50s and summarizes what happened in the last scene of the season, which in my opinion looks like a scene from like a porn parody of the Avengers.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? No. He's in the same boat as the audience, though. He has no idea how we got here or what the hell is going on.
I kept thinking, like, every time I saw it, like, in the trailer or at the beginning of this episode, like, we very clearly get, like, them pressing C and them pressing 20, like, on the jukebox.
I noticed that.
And it feels so deliberate, but, like, I don't see how it could be. Like, I have no idea if C20 means anything or whatever, but it always feels like a deliberate choice because they did such a big zoom in on it.
They also featured that in the trailer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's, like, felt so, like, important and, yeah.
It's been quite prominent, but I don't know. Maybe one of our listeners will know exactly what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know, please.
Yeah, because so far I just see maybe an Easter egg for the crew.
Yeah. The little, like, sitcom talking head things are so funny.
Yes.
They're so funny, especially Jughead's, where he looks into the camera and is just confused. Like, that's peak comedy. I just know that they had the best time doing them, and, it made me so happy.
It was really cute, and I really enjoyed, like, kicking off this first part. I was like, oh, this is gonna be cute because I'm really happy that Jughead knows.
Yeah, right.
Jughead still knows things. This is still our Jughead.
Right. I'm with you.
And then, Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also noticed while I was rewatching yesterday that, like, there's the girl who's, like, dancing in the teal skirt, and, her shoe came undone, so maybe somebody fixed that?
Oh, no.
Someone?
Actually, her shoe's just undone permanently now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't fix it in post now.
Way to go!
Yeah. High priority, come on.
So, here's all of the things that are different about life in the 50s, other than, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Jughead lives alone in an abandoned train car with hot dog.
I thought that was so funny. So Blanche's main note about this was that she needed to know what kind of dog that is. He definitely, to me, looks like some sort of, like, can't even... Anyway, like some sort of, like, terrier.
He looks like a sheepdog-terrier combo.
But small, yeah.
Like raggedy, yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, basically looks like a lot like Hot Dog in the comics, but, like, a lot smaller. And I think, like, smaller than the Hot Dog in the original show as well, like, early in the first couple seasons.
Oh, way smaller than the original Hot Dog.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about still having a dog around.
Yeah, me too. I hope we see more of him all the time.
The show's actually about Hot Dog now.
Yeah. So why Jughead out here living alone? Where are your parents, you know?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess it's true to the comics in that Jughead's parents weren't, like, a huge part of it.
That's true. That's fair.
Like, not the way, like, Hiram Lodge was.
Yeah.
So it's probably that.
Yeah. I guess I'm just, like, one of the, like, main hopes was that, like, so many of Parentdale that we, like, lost in the past were going to be coming back because now that they're teens, they can't just, like, be living by themselves in an abandoned train car. And Riverdale said, I don't care. I don't care.
The CW.
But as I said, Penelope, you know?
The CW, which during the production of Riverdale was sold to someone else for, and I am not joking, a single dollar, could not afford all of those actors.
Yeah, like, it literally, like...
They can't afford Gina Gershon, they just can't.
When your grandma's ready to sell her car, when your grandma's ready to sell her car and she sells it to you for $1 so that it's your... Like, that's what happened, but it's a television network.
And, like, that's not a joke. It was literally a dollar. That's what happened. I am not lying. So, maybe that has something to do with... I don't think they can afford Skeet Ulrich and Gina Gershon in one episode anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Also, everyone is a sophomore again, including Tabitha, who...
Yeah, and I realized, I was like, Tabitha never went to school with them. So, exactly. Like, they just had to, like, make it make sense, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
We've also got that Betty and Gay Kevin are straight dating.
Yeah.
It's not right, and it's not okay.
Okay. I mean, we saw it in the trailer, so it's like, I think that it would have been more of a, like, upset if we hadn't seen it in the trailer.
It's true.
But I was emotionally prepared for this trash.
The thing I was not emotionally prepared for was that we do not get Jason Blossom. There is no Jason, only Julian, and he's not the doll. He's just Cheryl's twin, but not Jason.
Yeah. So basically, they like were like, the twin needs to be an important character, but we need to recast Jason.
Yeah.
Because the guy who plays Jason, first of all, never speaks, and second of all, is just okay.
I guess. I mean,
acting wise,
I guess that's what happened.
I mean, that's my only that's the only reason they would do this in my, I think.
But like, here's the thing. If Julian's going to be alive and a person, why can't we have a little Jason doll?
That's what I'm saying. I bet he shows up.
I want a little doll. And I want it to be Jason.
Yeah.
Thank you. Also, Reggie's not in this episode, and Jughead hasn't seen Hymir yet.
Where is he, then?
Where's Reggie?
Where is he?
Where's Reggie?
If he's not at school, I can't remember if Jughead said something about how it's been, like, 2 weeks or, like, 2 months or something, like, how long he's been there or whatever. I can't remember what he said. But it's, like, long enough to have seen Reggie if he was at their school.
Well, so, my wife Sam writes for, and is an editor at Collider. And so she did a preview of the 3 episodes that she has seen of this show. And Reggie does not appear.
What the heck?
And that's in her review, so I'm not spoiling anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reggie is not around.
This is extremely upsetting to me. However, I do believe that, like, Reggie will have fully regressed from, like, the nice guy he eventually becomes, you know? Not, I mean, you know, last season he literally was working with, what's his freaking name, Percival. But I also, like, feel like Reggie's gonna show up, and when he does, he's gonna be mean. Straight up mean.
Like, literally that.
And that's gonna make me sad.
Or, like, they're gonna go to, like, that weird thing where, like, Reggie tried to become, like, a wizard.
Right. Oh, yeah. You know, like,
Reggie's, like, the only magical person in the town.
Yeah.
But, classic. Like, his power is ventriloquism, so it's useless.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
That's my fun guess of where Reggie is. He's actually at ventriloquist school.
School, yeah.
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 That's what I'm...
They're like, I don't remember this in the comics, but okay.
No, that's what's happening. That's what we've decided.
Yeah. Okay.
And Archie is the same old all-American dummy. And Blanche put a heart here, and she speaks for me.
I love this because, like, I like that we're not regressing to season one Archie, because season 1 to 3 Archie was annoying. And we have, like, said that extremely loudly.
This podcast had mad beef with
season
1 to 3 Archie, and we are proud of that beef.
For a long time. But so I'm glad that Archie isn't just, like, super annoying like he was in the first couple seasons, even though he's, like, gone back.
He's actually quite sweet. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
KJ is definitely, like, very comfortable in this role. And I think it's just... Yeah. Very funny. He knows exactly what show he's on at all times.
Oh, for sure. And, like, later when he's, like, staring at Veronica, I'm like, KJ is always giving comedy. KJ understands comedy. He has comedic timing. He's an icon.
He absolutely does.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers anything, and Jughead is just hoping that he can talk to Tabitha about what's going on, since she had time travel abilities back in the future.
Right.
Great. Yes, correct. I also want Tabitha.
Me too.
So,
always.
The bus pulls into Pop's parking lot back in town from Mississippi. Tabitha and Tony return from attending the trial of the men who murdered Emmett Till and got off without punishment.
I feel like we all agree.
It was at this moment that I burst out laughing.
Yeah. So, first of all, I thought that the bus was from Chicago because that's where Tabitha is from in the regular, but so I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
I think we all agree. So Blanche said, this is a real and terrible event from history that I'm unsure how I feel about them using in a show like this. I agree. In fact, I'm willing to go a step farther, which means that I don't like it.
I actively hate it.
Yeah. I basically am like, I know that it's important to tell these important stories and make statements like this.
100%.
But like, I don't think Riverdale is the place to do it. Like,
exactly.
I want to learn about these things, but it's Riverdale. Why can't we just have fun without worrying about them bungling an important historical moment? Like, I want to be able to have a good time without worrying about them screwing it up.
Because it's not that we believe that politics should be taken out of media. I believe the opposite. I believe that all media should never be divorced from politics. But media should not be divorced from politics only when the people who are writing it are good.
Another thing that I just realized is that I do think it's important to tell these stories, like you just said, but the problem is that Riverdale is a joke show. It is not a serious show.
It's not a show to take it seriously. No.
If this was a show that took itself seriously and, like, was actually, like, not that they don't try and treat it with respect, they clearly do. It's just that it's out of place in a show like Riverdale because Riverdale is basically entirely just jokes.
We
just goofing, you know?
Exactly. The main issue is that they can try and tell these stories and try and tell an impactful thing, and I will respect the attempt, but the execution is always going to be so disrespectful and bungled that I'm just like, why would you take this poor boy's name and use it in a show where you've time traveled to the past after having a knockoff Avengers season and shoved everyone back in the closet? Like, they're trying to ground it in reality by using a real historical event without understanding how disrespectful it is. And I'm just like, you guys are just, it's irresponsible storytelling.
I agree, and I appreciate what they're trying to do. But, like, when Lily Reinhart is, like, making a huge monologue about how, like, injustice, like, how unjust and how horrible the things that happened to Emmett Till were, which they were, I just remember all the times when she's like, I kill serial killers. Pew, pew, pew! You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how do I take the things that she says seriously, though? How do I take the things that any of these people say seriously? Because they say such crazy, weird stuff.
Precisely.
And I love it, but it's just weird in this context.
It's weird because it doesn't work. Like, it's weird because it takes a lot of the gravitas and the seriousness away from what actually happened by making it a plot point in a teen show on the CW so that you can really hammer home, oh, we're in the past and everyone's racist. And I'm like, we're in the present and everyone's racist. What's your point?
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Yeah. We don't want to harp on it for too long because we want to have fun on this podcast. But also... And I don't want to push what happened to Emmett Till under the rug or anything, but I also hope that this was the Emmett Till episode and now we don't have to hear about it anymore because I don't want to hear about it from Riverdale.
I don't want to hear about it from Riverdale. I want to hear about it from a responsible storytelling medium that isn't Riverdale. Any other TV show, you could tell this story in almost any other TV show and it would be more respectful and make more sense. Mm-hmm. Not this one.
Right. And this coming from people who love Riverdale. I love it.
I love Riverdale, and I strongly believe in using media as a force for change in the political spectrum. And listen, if this is how a teenager or a young adult learns about Emmett Till, I guess so be it.
Yeah.
Definitely go learn about it from actual Black voices, not the Riverdale writer's room. Please, I beg of you.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that we noticed about this scene was the new serpent logo, like the 50s serpent logo on, I believe she has like a denim shirt on instead of a leather jacket, which is really, or sorry, a denim jacket instead of a leather jacket. But it's so, so cool. And Blanche noticed it as well.
Yeah, it is fire.
Love it.
And I'm really happy that the serpents are actually still a thing because where else could you have a gang than in the 1950s?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Okay, so Jughead Jughead offers Tabitha his sympathies about what happened. It doesn't seem like the 50s personas have interacted much before this. I think it's because, like, Tabitha doesn't really know Jughead.
Fully, and she, like, turns around and she's like, who are you even who is talking to me right now? And I thought that was
exactly funny. Which, like, oh, heartbreak, but also they are so endgame.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, 100%. I mean, we know that canonically. Yeah.
Endgame coded. Mm-hmm. Mary, which I'm so excited, is still shaken up about actor this is so stupid. About actor James Dean's death via car accident. She decides Archie is not allowed to drive anymore, and Archie's pissed and has to ride his bike to school, which is so funny because KJ is too big for that bike.
Yeah, for sure. I also think that, like, if they want to root us in reality into a certain time, we've already done that by talking about James Dean.
It's right there. Like...
So, I don't know. But Mary's talking about how, like, they've printed pictures from his car accident. And, like, I made this note that was like, are they allowed to print car accident pictures like that? Because in my brain, I was just like, you're seeing his, like, mangled car accidented body. But now I'm thinking it's probably, like, the crushed cars and stuff.
It's the car. Yeah. It was definitely the car. I remember reading about this.
Yeah. And then he talks about his hot rod, and I was like, wait, it's not the jalopy? And then he says, it's a cut above a jalopy. And I'm like, never mind, it is the jalopy.
It's still the beloved jalopy.
It's a Guy Fieri jalopy. That's what
exactly.
It is. Yeah, yeah. And so now with like Archie doing his little like bike over a hill, I was like, Archie, now starring in Stranger Things season one.
It was really cute though. I love this.
It was.
KJ's too big for that bike. And that man is not a teenager on a bike. He is 30 years old and the father of a child. And you can tell. Right? And I think that's funny.
Oh my gosh. Right. I forgot about that. And he just, like, rides up to school and, like, leaves his bike on the little bike rack. And I'm like, you're not gonna lock it up? Do bikes not get stolen in the 50s?
I guess not.
Hello? Okay.
I mean, every boomer says things were safer back then. They weren't.
That's true.
They weren't. Y'all are liars.
Yeah.
Tony has written a very personal, important article about Emmett Till's murder and brings it to Betty to publish in the Blue and Gold. Because Betty's still ahead in the Blue and Gold, which makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Betty said she has tried to talk about things like that before, but Principal Featherhead, who isn't Anthony Michael Hall, who I also noticed and
I have thoughts on that.
Mad about, won't allow her to write thoughts about this because it's too upsetting.
Yes. So Blanche said that she likes that they're bringing back Tony being into journalism, which was like a season two Tony thing. I totally forgot about that. So that also makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
However, I did have thoughts on Principal Featherhead. It's clearly not the Principal Featherhead that we had in Midnight Club because that was Anthony Michael Hall. But I'm thinking like, if Principal Featherhead still exists, Midnight Club was taking place in the 90s. So, like, if I had to make this make sense because they couldn't get Anthony Michael Hall back, I think that this must be, like,
his father.
His father or his grandfather.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been many Principal Featherheads before me. You
that
know?
Makes perfect sense. I don't know why it couldn't be, like, some other version of Weatherby, like the, but I guess it would be, that actually might be worse if you were like, oh, we whitewashed Weatherby back, and then I'm like, wait, you know what, never mind. I've changed my mind.
I completely agree, because in the trailer we were like, that's Weatherby, and it was going to be like a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought not this Emmett Till stuff. I thought, like, that was going to be their statement about, like, I thought that maybe they would have, like, a little bit of segregation and then they would have, like, white Weatherby. And then I'd be like, ah, that's the statement they're making, you know? I'm glad that they're not, that they didn't do that now that I'm thinking about it. But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not going to, if I get going about the Emmett Till thing, I'll go all day.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Anyway.
Also, the thing that made me laugh a lot was that Betty's shirt had her name embroidered on it.
Like, you know Alice did that, right?
Yeah. She's like, just in case nobody knows, she has a name tag on at all times.
I think that's really sweet.
Yeah.
So fake Featherhead interrupts the gang's class to say that they have a new student, Veronica. She's living with her aunt and uncle and is an actress from LA with famous parents. Archie is already whipped and Shale already doesn't like her. She tells the class that she may or may not be starring in the new movie production of Our Town.
Yes. And Blanche had this great parallel from before where she says, I love this scene because of the callback to the pilot where Ronnie describes living in Riverdale as wandering through the lost epilogue of Our Town. Amazed that she caught that.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
But that's amazing. Yeah. So this teacher that we have here is Mrs. Thornton. She's not in the comics, but I really like her, especially at the end of the episode.
Me too.
Fantastic Mrs. Thornton stuff. I guess I was wondering if Veronica was gonna be like fully dress coded because she had her whole leg out that slit in her dress. And then I was confused about Veronica's aunt and uncle, but obviously that gets changed later. How do you feel about the name of their like telenovela or whatever that they star in?
I mean, it sure is what they picked, and I don't know what else to say about it, because
I think that calling it Oh Mija is like top tier camp. Like, this is like the most Riverdale that it's felt like so far.
That's true.
For me. Like, that is like, that's so good. And like I said earlier, KJ is just absolute comedy in this scene. He's so good.
He's eating it up. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna pop an edible and then go act my ass off. And I like that right. For him.
Yeah. And Veronica's like, I fully, totally want to be here so I can learn, you know, stuff about small towns for my role and not because I was forced to be here at all.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, this is voluntary in case anyone needs to hear it. It's voluntary.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Babe. Why do you think Cheryl hates her so immediately?
Because Cheryl is in the closet and is actually attracted to her. Thank you.
That was what my guess was too. Yeah. To be honest, yeah.
Like, yeah. It could be the cliche threatened, like, girls competing thing, but Cheryl's gay, so I'm just gonna pretend it's because she's really attracted to her and doesn't know what to do about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So now we have a new comics-y intro card. I loved it.
I loved it too. I love when they change the little intro card because, like, every time it happens, I'm always like, ooh.
Yeah, like the Leo meme.
It's new.
Like, I see it.
Oh, yeah.
So Veronica joins everyone for lunch in the student lounge, because they still have a student lounge.
Yep.
She remembers everybody's name except Cheryl, who is pissed about it. Ronnie tells everyone she used to live in Bel Air and was friends with the late James Dean. She also outs him as bi to everyone, and Archie implies being gay is not normal. Cheryl is also pissed and yells at Veronica. Fun fact, James Dean actually was queer.
Yeah, for sure. And
did not know it, looked it up. Very excited about it.
I also loved the part, like, near the end of the scene where Kevin asks about Sal Mineo. So I looked it up, and he was also bi.
Yeah. I mean, when you go back and, like, actually do a little bit of research into a lot of those, like, era of people, a lot of people were very queer and just shoved really deep in the closet. Yeah. And James Dean didn't even keep himself in the closet. Like, he gave interviews where he was like, yeah, I'm not gonna limit myself.
Yeah. And, like, Cheryl's like, what? No gays? No bisexuals? How dare you? Because she's like, I'm actually president of his fan club. So she's like, how dare you? I loved him and you're ruining him.
I'm like, it's not ruined, babe.
Now he's besmirched.
He's not besmirched. you have a shot with him regardless. Actually, yeah. No, he's
well,
dead.
Well, not anymore because he's dead.
Yeah. He's dead. You don't. Never mind.
Yeah. And I thought it was so funny. She was like, sex parties, orgies, bah, you're gross. And I was like, I know somebody who has thrown sex parties and that's you.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay. I liked the part where Veronica was like, oh yes, I think I caught all of your names. And she like names everybody and Betty's like, she remembered my name. And I was like, yeah, probably because you're embroidered shirt that says your name on it. How did you know? Was it my embroidered shirt?
Shocking. Maybe she would have remembered Cheryl's name if Cheryl had it embroidered on her shirt.
Had an embroidered shirt. Yeah, she needs to, like, get on that, I think. Embroider all your shirts so people remember you.
Yeah, of course.
The thing that, like, absolutely appalled me was, like, they're juniors, right? So they're, like, 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, and they sure do look it.
And Veronica's like, And Veronica goes, I went skinny dipping with James Dean. And I was like, how old was this man? My guy was 24 when he died, Brittany.
What? Okay.
He went skinny dipping with 16 or 17 year olds.
So here's the logic of Riverdale this season. Racism, real. Everyone has to be in the closet.
Yeah.
There's no dress codes.
Mm-mm.
Teenagers can go skinny dipping with James Dean.
Yeah.
Did I get it?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
That's it. Yeah.
That's so weird. Yeah. I kind of forgot that they were supposed to be like 16. Oh yep. My god. Yeah.
It's like looking back and then they're like supposed to be in like 10th grade in season one. And I'm just like, okay. And everyone's like, this 10th grader is so hot about Archie. And I'm like, whoa. What?
They've just like given up trying to make them look young too. So now it's just funny. For sure. They're like, this is in no way a teenager.
They're like, let's just style KJ's hair a little differently.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Cole fully looks 40.
You know, after the stuff that the interview that Cole gave, Cole looks 40 and that's derogatory. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say on the subject.
Yep.
Okay, so one of Jughead's teachers informs the class that in 2 years, Bailey's comet will once again be passing over Riverdale. The same comet that transported them here. Somehow.
Yeah, and you can see Ethel sitting next to Jug and she just like gets up and that's it. But Shannon Perks has still got a guest starring credit, which I thought was like pretty baller of her. I of course had my eyes glued to the guest starring, and when I saw her I was just like, oh boy. And then I was like, wait, where was she? I had to look for her.
Oh my god, that was it?
Yeah.
Damn, that's a good agent.
I mean, we've seen her in the trailer so we know that she's like gonna be doing more stuff, but
yes,
yeah.
Yes, of course. Yes.
And also, like, woof, we better not be here for 2 years.
I'm also hoping it won't be for 2 years because I kind of want to know what happens to the characters that I already like.
That I've been living with.
And these are not them because these are kind of different characters.
Straight up, they are different characters. And like, I guess they'll be adults in 2 years. And some people think that we will be going there for 2 years because we've seen like pictures where Betty's hair is longer and stuff like that. So I just, if we're going to do that, let's do a time jump, bud.
Yeah, because
we better be jumping. Let's go.
I really want to get back to the present day to find out everything else that happened. I understand that, like, you know, the creators gave an interview where they were like, well, we really wanted to do the original Archie comic stories. And I'm like, so you spent 6 seasons creating these characters. And in the last season, you were like, we don't like what we did. Let's just undo it all.
I know that, like, season one had a very serious niche. Like, it was like, it's Archie comics, but gritty, you know? But I'm like, if there was a time to do the 50s stuff, that was season one.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, less people would have watched or whatever because then it's not gritty Archie comics, it's just Archie comics. But I also feel like a lot of people probably still would have because a lot of people grew up reading Archie comics just like me and you.
100%.
But anyway, I just think that it's like, it was definitely a weird time to do it, but I'm gonna stay cautiously optimistic about it.
All right, and that is your prerogative.
That's my prerogative, yeah.
I will not. And then we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. I'm not going to bet you any money because I am not super confident.
I don't think you should.
Yeah, yeah.
Archie offers to drive Ronnie home, but she already has a ride with Julian. Mm. Cheryl is pissed again because their car only has two seats and now she has to walk home. Sorry.
Dude, I was right.
A queen should not walk.
I was right.
About what?
Well, in the trailer, all we saw was her like driving off with Julian and I was like, Archie's in the back and he's upset because he wants to be with Veronica and Cheryl's back there and she's upset because that was her ride. I literally said
correct.
That.
Correct. Yep, you're
shout
right.
Shout out me. I was like, can't believe I'm a genius.
Come on, big brain.
Also in the trailer, we got a whole thing about like Archie and Cheryl like being together and she's going to be Mrs. Andrews. And clearly they're not together yet. So my guess is that it's some sort of like pretend thing. If I had to guess, it would be like trying to get Penelope off her trail of like liking girls or something.
Oh yeah, definitely rooted in homophobia for sure.
Yeah, that's what it, that's my guess. That's my theory.
I think that you are on a good path here.
Thanks. Also,
I think you are going to be right.
Yeah, I haven't read any of the like synopsises for the future episodes that have come out already. So sorry if that's like fully a thing already.
I also haven't.
Because it will have happened in the next couple episodes anyway, so.
Yes. So fake Featherhead, to no one's shock, tells Betty and Tony that Tony will not be allowed to publish her article in the school newspaper. He says that he talked to the school guidance counselor, I'm guessing that's his role here, who's a child psychologist, Dr. Werthers. I'm like, what are you, like a friggin' caramel? Knock it off.
Uh-huh.
And he feels like it's too disturbing for the students to hear. James Dean's car accident, not too disturbing, but this, yeah. Too disturbing. Also, yeah. According to fake Featherhead, racism doesn't happen in Riverdale, and it should be enough that Riverdale High allows students of color because they're integrated.
Racism doesn't happen. It doesn't.
It doesn't. Listen, yeah. Isn't it enough that we allow some of you to come to our school?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that not enough?
Shouldn't that be enough? It doesn't change overnight, Miss Topaz.
I'm like, oh my God. They do a good job really making these boomers as cliche as possible. I'm gonna give them a win for that.
Yeah. Blanche was like, I really hate this dude. He was bad enough as Warden Norton. And so we have the season three big bad as Warden Norton. I guess he wasn't like the big bad, but he was one of the villains.
He was like an arch big bad something.
Yeah. And he was like, he was definitely a boss battle, but he wasn't like the final boss battle.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then this other guy here, Dr. Werthers, is now here. And that was Professor or Mr. or Dr. DuPont from season four, who was like one of the teachers that Jughead hated at Stonewall.
Yep.
And Mr. Werthers also is not in the comics. So I'm like, if we see Clifford, then we've had season one. We've already seen Hal for season two. Season three, we've seen Penelope and the Warden. Season four, we've seen DuPont. So I'm like, we need to bring in Brett or Donna, please. And I just love them bringing back these like characters. So I love a throwback. Please bring them all back. I love it so much.
And we also know, thanks to Instagram, that we will be getting Hiram.
Yep. That is true. That is true. Yes.
So yeah, it's really all the big bads right now.
Honestly, I'm thrilled. Listen, Hiram was always just a cliche, just constantly all the time, but Mark was so good and he always just absolutely hit it out of the park. And so I'm thrilled. I'm excited to see Hiram again, especially after this little break.
Exactly. Cause like, was it annoying that all of Ronnie's stories revolved around Hiram? Yes.
Yes.
Was it a freaking joy to watch Mark Consuelos eat everyone up? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Betty asked her parents to read Tony's article on RIVW, which is Hal's show. You gotta be fucking kidding me. That's Blanche's note, and I think that's really funny. But yep. They say no because the Blossoms, who sponsor their show, won't allow it. May I just say, before we talk about anything else, Alice Servant, thank you.
Oh, she looks great.
Yeah, I know you're gonna have to bleep that out, but the girlies who know, no.
I have no idea if anyone will be able to know what you said.
She's serving in general. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, that is true. Blanche was like, and I quote, Alice, my beloved, my cinnamon apple. Why does Ras hate women so much? Why does this have to be Hal's show? Why is he the reporter now? This was the scene that made me immediately want to go back to the future.
Because they were like,
where Alice is the person.
No, because here's the thing. There's no dress code. There's racism, homophobia, and sexism.
Yeah.
But there's also time travel.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. It has to be period accurate, Robin.
Yeah. Right. So Archie says things like Shazam, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's period accurate.
I am very disappointed that they made Alice racist because is Alice my problematic fave? 100%. But like, I always want her to be better than she is.
Yeah. And Maybe I'm misremembering, but I feel like that was not the way that she was ever problematic.
No, Alice was problematic in a parenting way.
Mm-hmm.
She was classist, but I don't recall her ever being racist, which I guess you can just add onto her pile at that point. The Alice who dated FP, oh, she was a goddess.
She was her best self when she was with FP. Still holding out hope, everybody.
I have my clown shoes on. I believe that FP will come back and that we will get FP and Alice endgame and that Alice will have another personality transplant, like her 30th.
Absolutely. You know? In fact, I am certain.
Fine.
I'm certain. I have to be. I have to manifest. However.
And I will go. I will go along with this.
If anybody comes in to correct us and gives us examples of when Alice was racist, I will believe it.
Oh, yeah. If you come and say, oh, she was racist here, here, and here, I'm going to be like, I completely believe you. And she was wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly.
The block is always that Machen Amick is so hot and I am so gay.
So we see that Hal is here, obviously, and so that means dead people are here. There are dead characters here in the 50s.
Yes.
We, you know, Hal is the news guy now because of misogyny, and he's like, well, we only got 15 minutes a night, so how are we gonna use 1 minute to write this, to do this poem, or like, do this article or whatever?
I'm like, what were your other 14 minutes for, you friggin' loser?
I was like, 15 minutes a night, though? That's a lot of minutes. Like, if you can't do it tonight, can you do it tomorrow night when you have 15 more minutes? Harold,
like, what the hell is Hal even talking about? Like, is he talking about like car stuff at this point?
I don't even know. Like, you can absolutely spare 1 minute for this.
Of course not, but like, the point, the to quote many a paraphrased phrase, the cruelty is the point.
Yeah. So then Betty's like, I have to give this little monologue about how bad things were that happened to Emmett Till, and like I said, they were,
yeah,
but Riverdale's not the place. And so then she like walks away and the music gets a little bit louder, and I honestly genuinely straight up thought she was gonna start singing. I really did.
Also, it's not that Riverdale isn't the place in terms of every media is the place. The Riverdale writer's room is not the writer's room.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it could have been a musical.
Yeah, for sure. I literally was like, wait, they haven't sung yet, but like, who knows? At any given time they could. I would not complain.
I actually looked up if Our Town was a musical because we were like, oh, is that gonna be the musical?
I don't believe it is.
It's not.
Yeah, no, I studied Our Town in theater school.
Yeah.
It's mostly like, it is definitely like about a small town, but it is not a musical.
Fair enough. Here's the thing. It's not that Riverdale isn't the show. I'm stuck on this because I feel like the phrasing is problematic. It's not that Riverdale isn't the show, and it's not that we don't want social issues in Riverdale for the social issue. It's not like, get rid of this woke nonsense. It's these topics are too heavy for a show that does not treat them with the respect that they deserve. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not like, and that's the thing is that they tried to.
Yeah.
They tried.
And like, I'll commend them on.
So that's why it's so hard.
Even one person learned about Emmett Till from this, that I guess that's a win.
Yeah.
But I am horrified.
Yeah.
Okay. Archie talks to Jughead while working on his car. Just as an aside, thrilled that after six seasons, these two actually have scenes together.
Right, exactly. I'm like, now that Jughead has been like erased, I'm just like, is he finally going to be hamburger guzzling Jughead? I'd like to see it. Oh my God, Ace Jughead from the comics? Is that you?
Archie says that he's already whipped for Veronica and is sneaking the car out to see her tonight. Jughead couldn't care less. He's thinking...
He's like, I do not care.
Exactly. He's like, oh, okay, you're going to date Ronnie? Groundbreaking.
Yeah, that's brand new. Great.
Jughead's thinking...
Archie's like, I've just met this woman!
You'll never believe this! Yeah, Jughead, you're not going to believe... It's like the skull, you're not going to believe this! Jughead, you're not going to believe this!
Jughead's like, no, I had no idea you were gonna have a crush on her when she showed up. That's weird.
Back at it again. Oh, he's like, I have to listen to this all over again. I need to go find Tabitha.
He's like, sorry, I can't handle doing this again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Jughead is like not listening to Archie because he's thinking that maybe if Bailey's comet sent them all to the past, it could send them home. He needs everyone to remember too, though. And Fred's hammer reminds him of the time capsule the gang buried at the end of high school. He thinks maybe seeing all the stuff in there will make them remember. And don't worry about the time travel logistics. It's wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Timey-wimey, yeah. It's so funny because Archie's like, I'm looking for my dad's hammer. And Jughead's like, ding, I remember about this. And he goes, do you have a shovel? And Archie's like, yeah, I have a shovel, but I asked about a hammer. Like,
I still need the hammer.
I'm looking for a hammer, though, so that's not really going to help me, but thanks.
Could you help me find the hammer?
Yeah.
How Jughead just be like, I'm not listening. Also, I have my own thing.
Yeah, actually, I gotta go by.
Yeah. Jughead digs up the time capsule, which is shockingly there, wibbly-wobbly. Someone is lurking in the woods watching him eye emoji. Yeah. Everything is in there except for his iconic beanie.
I honestly, like, before we saw at the end, the reveal of who it was who was watching him, I thought that this was going to be, like, the beginning of, like, showing us who, like, the evil villain of the season was. I was wrong. I thought that we would not learn who that was for, like, 5 episodes, but I like what it ended up being, so.
I like, and I have some thoughts on it, but we'll get there.
Yes. Yes. So, Riverdale After Dark, the, like, iconic Twitter account / podcast, tweeted that if the time capsule survived and it's, like, things that are underneath the ground, then maybe the sex bunker is still there.
Oh my god, please.
Yeah, because I guess it's only ground deep.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and manifest that.
Jughead didn't say, but, like, Reggie put something in the time capsule, so I'm like, Reggie has to, like, be there and exist somehow.
I mean, I think so too, but maybe Charles Melton was, like, booked for these first couple episodes?
He could have been, I don't know. I sort of, like, noticed that he wasn't there, obviously, because Jughead said, and then Lily had, like, tweeted something about, or, like, posted on Instagram or something like that about Charles Melton, and I was like, maybe they've had, like, a feud and he's not in the season. I don't know. But then when I clicked on it, she was just, like, making fun of him for something. So I don't know. I have no idea where he is. I don't know.
I mean, he's kind of been booked and busy, so I wouldn't be surprised if he just, like...
And good for him. He's very talented.
Yeah. 100% he's very talented.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if these actors, like, really... Once they're free of this, I think Lily's gonna be huge.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. And we've been saying it for years.
A hundo. So Jughead tells the gang that they're all from the future and they don't remember their lives. And to their credit, they don't at all look at him like he's insane. Like, they're a little curious, but they kind of go along with the bit. And
they do hear him out.
I think that's very funny. Mm-hmm. He shows everybody their mementos from the time capsule. He tries telling them about all the things you can do with an iPhone. No, this is literally what happened, guys. And also what they were all like there, except for gay Kevin, who does not like or care. He also tells them how he thinks they could get home. The Bailey's Comet theory, but also Betty and Archie, they could make out on Archie's bed and then they could blow up a bomb underneath them, since that is how they got back and forth from Rivervale.
But of course, to Archie and Betty, who aren't even together, and we don't even know if Betty, like, had a crush on him in freshman year or, like, when they were kids even, but they're both like, excuse? Like, huh?
But, like, I'm sorry, you said what? We make up? But, like, guaranteed, that 100% just planted a thought in Betty's brain.
For sure. She's just like, interesting. Oh. Like, now that I'm not gonna be able to be with Kevin in a couple episodes. I think it's funny that, like...
And you shouldn't be, babe. You deserve better than Kevin.
Yeah, it's true. So, like, Jughead, like, rushes in and is like, quick, Archie and Veronica, come with me. And Veronica's like, why is this weird man in the hat talking to me like I know him? Like, I've never seen this. I hardly know this person.
But, like, my favorite thing is, like, in this scene, they all just kind of decide to indulge him. Like, they'll listen. Yeah. And I think that's very cute.
It's kind of kind.
It is. Because they're like, nice, oh, okay, he's doing a bit. This seems kind of fun. Let's go along with it. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, let's go along with it. Yeah. But Jughead's hat wasn't in there, which is weird. And I was like, oh, like, did Betty get it out or something? I don't know. So I asked Blanche, and no, Betty had knit him a new one. Because, like, I think they threw it in the fire in that, like, in season 4 when they're like, we killed Jughead, throw his stuff in the fire. You remember that?
Yes, of course.
And they threw it away. So then she knit him a new one. And it's truly unclear why it's not in there. It at some point at the end of the episode it, like, appears again, but yeah, it's, like, not super clear what happened there.
I kind of wonder if those objects actually, like, have significance in, like, how each person remembers their self. Like maybe Jughead having it back there, it has something to do with his tie to the future. Yeah. I don't know.
He says 67 years ago, but in the future. And I was like, that's a little confusing. How about 67 years from now?
Exactly.
67 years ago, but in the future. Okay.
Robin, I want you to know it took me an uncomfortably long time to figure out that they were in 1955 and this was actually just the plot of Back to the Future.
Yeah. Straight up.
It's down to the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely part of it, I feel like it's...
Oh, for sure it is.
Yeah. I'm, like, waiting for them to name one of the episodes Back to the Future. But I feel that would be, like, that they'd be like, oh, man, everyone's gonna know that we go back to the future in this episode. So they might not do it.
I hope they do it.
Me too. So Veronica's like, okay, who's more famous, me or Elizabeth Taylor? And I'm like, well, she's dead.
She's dead, but also still Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, probably still her.
Yeah, because she's Elizabeth Taylor.
Jughead says, we listen to Spotify. And I'm like, so that's one of their, like, clunky...
Sponsors? Yeah.
Sponsor shout outs. But also, and like, it has to be because like, he's like, yeah. And then we like listen to Spotify and I'm like, no one knows what that is or what they're listening to.
Yeah. It's extremely funny.
So yeah. I also wondered why Tabitha wasn't at the meeting. My guess is that Jughead was like scared to look silly in front of her or like, I don't know. I feel like he thinks that the stakes are higher with Tabitha if I had to guess.
Did Tabitha have anything in the chest?
You are totally right. I don't think Tabitha put anything in the time capsule. I bet that's why.
Yeah, so that's why she's not there. Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Also, we learn later that Fred died in the war in this timeline. And actually, like, Blanche has a couple of notes about that. Later.
I also have notes about that.
Yeah. But that's why, like, when Jughead tells Archie that he, like, was in the military and went to war, Archie probably doesn't want to hear about that because that's how Fred died in this timeline.
Yeah.
And then Kevin's like, what about me? And Jughead's like, he's, like, nice enough not to talk about how fruity he is, but he also was in an organ harvesting cult, and Kevin's like, okay. Kevin's like, that tracks, honestly. It seems like me.
The way he says, like, nice things about everyone, and then he looks at Cheryl, and he's like, well, you were a witch.
Yeah, you were possessed, and, like, there are other things to say about Cheryl. You could say nicer things, I feel like. You were still class president. At least there's that, you know?
She's an iconic socialite.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It was a funny moment, but I'm also like, poor Cheryl.
Exactly. Oh, I mean, you have to push her so far to the edge that she does something rash in order to not get outed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what is the self-hating gay trope, if not the most annoying thing you've ever seen?
So true. The only other thing that I had about this scene was just that, like, they're like, how do we fix it and go back to the future? And I'm like, hey, Veronica, why don't you ask everyone to kiss you? That would fix everything, right?
Wait, it kind of would, though. They just all die.
Right, they just all die. Just like, I don't know. Everything.
I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Nobody believes Jughead, unfortunately. Archie takes him aside and says that life is good here. He should enjoy figuring it out and stop trying to convince people of these crazy stories. Otherwise, people will think he's crazy and will send him away. Sad face.
It's just like, Jughead, in what world are the things that you're saying not totally out of this world sounding? Like, why is he so offended? Like, the things that you're saying sound crazy.
Jughead went to the past and then tried to explain Spotify.
Straight up. Like, he's literally just like...
And then he's like, why do people not believe me?
What, Archie? You don't believe me? And Archie's like, yeah, you said you wanted me and Betty to make out on my bed and then...
And explode.
Put a bomb underneath. Like, it really feels like just some wet dream you had one time. And I'd rather not hear about it.
Literally.
Right. And Jughead's like, what? Why don't you believe me? He's like, what? Spotify.
Welcome to season 7 of Riverdale. That's happening.
Yeah. Blanche also said, of course life is good for Archie. He's a straight upper middle class white man. What about the gay kids in the closet and the black kids dealing with everyday racism? And what about Jughead, who's living in an abandoned train car? I know Archie is a character.
He's like, life's great here, Jughead. You're homeless.
Yeah, exactly. I know Archie as a character doesn't have bad intentions here, but this scene just made him seem really entitled. I totally agree. I'm just like, have you asked Jughead how he's feeding his dog?
Yeah, like...
How he affords to feed his dog?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Jughead, how's your home life? It's actually not great, from what I can tell. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Oh, man. Betty apologizes to Tony for not being able to get Hal to talk about Emmett Till on RIVW. Tony tells her that she's not surprised. No one wanted to talk about what happened until Mamie Till released the photos of her son's open casket. They are brutal and disturbing, but it got people to listen. Betty says, give me the photos.
I thought at this time when she said that, I was like, I bet there's going to be like a parallel about Betty looking at crime scene photos because we've seen her look at so many crime scene photos. And I think I was right when it eventually happens later.
Oh, I definitely think you were right.
Yeah.
Cheryl and Julian are both brooding at home because of Veronica. Penelope, who's nice now, I can't wait to see more of her, that's from Blanche, comes in to ask them what's wrong and gives Cheryl her movie magazines to cheer her up. And I'm like, oh, movie magazines will absolutely cheer a sapphic up. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. And Blanche was like, I love nice Penelope. The Blossoms stay being one of the highlights of this episode. I hate to burst the bubbles, but I feel like nice Penelope is a facade.
Oh, it totally is.
Like, evil Penelope is so concentrated that, like, I don't know how she doesn't seep into every other version of Penelope.
Oh, evil Penelope is going to turn into a homophobe in, like, 0.5 seconds. That's just why I think, fact.
Yeah. Like, I would be surprised, but also, like, sort of pleasantly surprised. Not that she's still homophobic, which she probably will be, but that if she's going to be like, Cheryl, I love you so much, but, you know, we have to, like, go to church and, like, destroy this part of you, you know? And it's like, that's what nice Penelope is. Still evil, but in, like, a more sinister, but more subtle way.
Yeah, instead of, like, the overtly mustache twirling.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I also thought it was interesting that clearly Cheryl and Julian don't get along like she used to get along with Jason.
Yeah, they're like enemies.
They're like enemies. They don't like each other. And she used to like she and Jason used to like finish each other's sentences, I feel like, you know, if Jason, you know, spoke.
Which it's still jury's out on whether or not that ever happened.
Still not sure. Yeah, yeah. You guys, that's about the halfway point of the episode. Real quick, I'm going to talk to you about Patreon, the first Patreon shout out of the season. Our Patreon is patreon.com/theafficionados. And we have some really cool things over there at a monthly donation. So the $1 level gets you early access to every single podcast. This one's going to come out one day in advance at least. If you join the Discord at the $2 level, you'll actually get it like before then, because I'm just going to post the link in the Discord as soon as I'm done it, as soon as it's uploaded. But I also have made it so that you can get a 1 month free trial of the early access tier on our Patreon. So go check that out now that Riverdale has started back up. I feel like now is the time to do it because you'll be getting them like once a week. And so definitely go check that out. The $5 level is 10% off at a bunch of small businesses, mine, Brittany's, and Casey's, our lost co-host. And then the $10 level is our Patreon only podcast. But what I'm pushing on you right now is to go check out that free trial. It's free and you get them early.
I love free things.
Me too.
Archie and Veronica are at a date at Pops. Archie tells her about himself and also Fred, who apparently died in the Korean War. Okay. And Mary works at a dress shop. Archie tells Ronnie that he hasn't really dated anyone and implies that he'd like to be her boyfriend. But then Cheryl walks in and announces to the entire restaurant that Veronica has been lying to everyone about starring in a new movie. She screams at her that her parents probably want to get rid of her. And Cheryl, she's right.
I loved this scene. It was one of my favorites. Yeah, it's one of my favorite scenes of the whole thing.
Oh my god, this is the best of Riverdale.
For sure, literally. I also like, speaking of like Alice not getting to be the reporter, like Mary works at a dress shop instead of being a lawyer.
Yeah.
Which sucks. And like I said, Blanche talks a little bit about Fred and how she feels about them changing Fred's death in, she made us a little voicemail, which she's gonna do every episode probably. And so I'll play that later.
Sounds great.
And, oh, she also brought up another amazing, I don't know how many times Blanche has watched the pilot, but I respect it. She says another callback to the pilot in this scene, which I loved. Veronica trying the Pops onion rings. So yeah.
That's fantastic.
The onion rings was like a whole thing. Archie is giving such high himbo this scene. She's like,
oh my god, he just wants to date a pretty girl so bad.
Yeah, he's literally like, oh, what's that? And she explains and he goes, who's that? And she's like, never mind, I don't know.
He's like, I am a redneck from the middle America.
I've never had a girlfriend before, but it's because I've never found the right girl until now. I was like, sir, that is forward for someone who's never had a girlfriend.
Right?
Wow. Have you, like...
He's just playing the game.
Yeah, he's like, you're very pretty. I'm like, have you talked to her for 3 seconds?
And, okay.
Do you know anything about her?
Well, he knows she's pretty, and she worked in Hollywood.
He's famous.
And that was enough, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and she's alluring and mysterious. And TBH...
That's true.
He's kind of right for that.
Well, he likes her for all the reasons that comics Archie liked Veronica.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it kind of works. Also, yeah. Fred dying in the Korean War, I was just sitting there like, if you had him die in a car accident, Mary's fears about cars would be a lot more justified. But okay.
Right. Yeah, it's literally something that Blanche brings up, is it's just like, why do we change it? Like, people die in car accidents. That's what James Dean just died of. Like, yeah. Why are we changing it? Yeah.
Who knows?
I also wonder, like, how Veronica seems to think that she would, like, get away with fully lying to the whole class about getting the Our Town role. Like, everyone would eventually know who was in the movie. The movie would come out, and you weren't in it, you know?
Right?
Did she think everyone would forget by then? Like,
she was like, well, this little white lie will just not be a problem.
Right. Yeah.
You know what? You gotta respect a girl who doesn't think a plan through.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? Her and Archie go together really well, actually, now that I say it.
Exactly!
Yeah.
Back at the Pembroke, Archie confronts Ronnie. Oops. Back at the Pembroke, Archie comes...
He's like, I'm mad!
Ronnie, you're so pretty, and it makes me angry!
Yeah.
Archie comforts Ronnie and tells her Cheryl is just capital L, capital T, like that.
Like that. Yeah.
But she tells him that she was right about her parents kicking her out and sending her to Riverdale. She says that they care more about their TV show than they do her. The last straw was her being involved in James Dean's death. Her aunt and uncle also don't exist, and she's living here alone. Girl, you are involved with what now?
Right. Because she said that she was, like, part of a convoy behind him before he died or whatever.
Exactly. Like, they were all just hanging out, and I'm like, you, your 16-year-old self, were in a convoy
with... Yeah, exactly. And she's like, I was involved in the death.
And I was like, why have you done this?
Yeah. And, like... Her aunt and uncle not existing totally tracks, because when she originally said, I'm living with my aunt and uncle, I was just like, and I was like,
what aunt and uncle?
What aunt and uncle? Because Hiram was an only child, and I'm pretty sure Hermione was an only child, so like, what aunt and uncle? And then I also just remembered that she used to live in Bel Air, so she's like, not living with her aunt and uncle in Bel Air, but...
Oh my god, I moved with my auntie and my uncle in Bel Air.
Yeah, except she was leaving Bel Air to go and live with her auntie and uncle, I guess. Anyway, but I'm just like, but so she's also living alone, just like Jughead, and I'm just like, where is Smithers? Smithers needs to be here.
I bet he shows up.
He has to.
I mean, he's Smithers.
Yeah.
You know, he's too iconic. You have to have him.
So true.
Archie arrives home to find Mary waiting for him, and she is not happy that he stuck the car out. The photos of James Dean's car crash really freaked her out. Weird that it's not because that's how her husband died, but whatever.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the photo parallels between the Tony and Betty storyline. But after a sweet little heart-to-heart where Archie convinces her he'll be responsible and safe, she feels better.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm kinda on Mary's side with this, because first, like, she's the parent, and now that Archie's back to being a minor, you listen to your mom, dude.
I don't know. At the same time, I'm like, just because one person was irresponsible with their car doesn't mean every person is.
Yeah. I guess, like, I just think that instead of sneaking his car out, then he should have talked to her ahead of time then.
Well, that's probably true.
But, I mean, it's Archie, so, yeah. And he's just like, I'm gonna drive really, really slow now. And I'm like, yeah, Veronica's not gonna be very impressed with your slow-ass car.
Okay, but I also really like that he mentioned that Betty would be the one to take it down. Which yeah. Means Betty has, like, mechanical skills, and I love that for her.
Me too. And Blanche had said, like, Archie making a joke about Betty unsouping his car. Who else is into cars? Gladys. Blanche, of course, brought this up because she's the biggest Gladys stan of all time.
Yep.
She said, I disregarded this during the scene with Jug and Archie working on the car because I figured women can't do things in this timeline. But Betty is a girl and she still works on cars. I'm just saying there are ways to write her back into the show, even if it has to be in the 50s.
Or, like, even just a mention.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, it doesn't...
I'm waiting for Jughead to talk about his parents.
Like, if they can't afford Gina Gershon, just, like, mention her.
Just talk about her, yeah.
Exactly.
And also, like, where's your sister?
Oh, yeah, where's Jellybean?
Jellybean existed in the comics.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Veronica watches her parents' show, Oh Miha, that we find out she's a character in, but there's another actress playing her. Sad. The phone rings, and it's Hermione, but she somehow knows about Archie coming over and tells Veronica to stay focused and that they didn't send her to Riverdale to fool around with boys. She also says they might not even get to spend the holidays together this year.
This is just a big bummer of a scene.
Yeah.
I do think it's funny that the character is literally named Little Ronnie.
I know, it's very funny.
Like, that's literally her name.
It's very,
And it's played by another actor.
It's very I Love Lucy vibes in so many ways.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, wait, you had a boy at the apartment. And I'm like, how did she hear about the boy at the apartment if not from Smithers?
Exactly.
Like, where is Smithers? And then she says something about her Uncle Orson, and I'm like, Orson Welles?
Yes. That is her uncle.
That's the only Orson I can think of.
Yes, that's the only person who's ever been named Orson.
They're so famous. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want you to know that.
Yeah.
Betty is shaken up by the funeral photos. She talks to Tony and they decide they're going to read a poem about Emmett Till during the morning announcements. Since Cheryl's the one who usually covers them, they have to get her approval and also take care of Featherhead so that he doesn't stop them.
The only thing I had about this scene was that it's funny that Tony's like, I don't know this Cheryl person very well.
And I'm like, you're gonna. She is your next obsession, babe.
We were just in a scene together. We were just in a scene together where Jughead said, well, a bunch of weird stuff. That's all I know.
Exactly. Tabitha approaches Jughead in the hallway. She tells him that she and her family are going on a tour to speak about what to do next with Mamie Till and the NAACP. She asks Jughead if he can help her out with schoolwork and assignments, and he happily agrees. You can tell that he misses her.
For sure. At this moment, I literally was like, are you freaking kidding me? They're just, like, getting rid of Tabitha? Like, Tabitha's just leaving?
Yeah, I'm really not happy about this.
I have sort of a theory later that I don't know if it's gonna come true or not, but I'll tell you about it later. Okay. I'm really pissed if Tabitha is actually leaving. And, oh, Blanche said that her glasses are really cute, which I do have to agree about.
Her glasses are so cute. I just don't understand why Tabitha has to be written out here, because if she doesn't have her powers, then can't we just have her be one of the gang and have, like, her and Juggy fall in love and have, like, that whole, like, star-crossed plotline? Like, I don't see why that's not possible.
Yeah, and plus Tabitha is, like, one of the best things that this show has ever done. So I think it's stupid to get rid of her, which is where my theory comes in. So bear with me.
All right.
And we also got that moment from the trailer where Jughead says awesome, and she's just like, what's awesome? Never been heard of this.
Oh, right.
And he says, I mean swell. I love that moment.
He's like, new slang just dropped.
Yeah, cute.
Tony approaches Cheryl in the girls' bathroom, call back to their first meeting, except Betty's also there. They ask her for help with the announcements, and she agrees.
Yeah, I totally, like, caught the Shoni in the bathroom parallel, too. She's just like, get your sapphic serpent fingers off of me, or whatever she says.
I also really like that Hal and Alice had their hands tied by a blossom, but this blossom is like, well, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know? The generation.
It's like, yeah, it's like better than season one Cheryl, even. Season one Cheryl was like meaner than this Cheryl, I feel like.
Oh, way meaner, yeah. Cut to Miss Bell telling Cheryl that she and Featherhead are dealing with Tabitha, who we know is faking, who's passed out in a football field, and she has to read the announcements by herself. Betty and Tony sneak in, and they read the poem Mississippi 1955 by Langston Hughes.
Love that Miss Bell is still kicking.
Yeah.
Still kicking, Miss Bell. I don't know if you guys know this, if you don't listen to our other podcasts, but since last season when we finished talking about season six, I started working in a school. And to be fair, it is a middle school, and this would be a high school. But I just think it's unrealistic that there wouldn't be 15 million kids in the office before school. There are always 15 million kids in the office at all times.
Really?
Except for when it's at class. Yes, especially, like, every single break in the morning after school, there are kids in the office all the time. Just there.
That's actually really weird, because when I was in school, that was not a thing.
Oh, yeah. It is middle school, like I said. But, like, thank your office staff today. You know, I feel like they don't get as much, like, praise as the teachers. You know, they don't feel like they, like, do as much. But, like, when I tell you guys, the people in the office are busy all the time.
That's crazy. That's a high stress job.
All the time, for sure. Yeah. And also, all these kids are too quiet during the announcements. It's also unrealistic.
Not rowdy enough.
Yeah. I honestly, like, when they said, we're gonna read a poem about it, I thought they were gonna write the poem.
I also did, and I was terrified, and then it turned out it was a real poem, and I felt a lot better.
Me too. And I was like, oh, was the poem, like, published by then? If it was, like, just about this happened that just happened? Or, like, it was just about this thing that just happened? But I guess the trial just happened, not the actual crime.
Exactly.
So I googled it. Langston Hughes began to write Mississippi 1955 as early as September 16th, 1955. He completed it on September 23rd, and the poem was dedicated to Emmett Till's memory. And then I was like, wait, did she? Because it was on just, like, loose leaf, and it was just, like, written out. And for a second I was just like, are they trying to tell me that Tony wrote Mississippi 1955 by Langston Hughes?
Oh, Langston Hughes is her pen name?
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, wait, no.
Oh my god.
And then I was like, wait, I guess she can't, like, read it off her phone or anything, so she just straight up had to write it down on a piece of paper. But I genuinely, for a second, I was like, wait, what is happening?
That would have been insane.
Yeah.
Oh my, that would be so, that's so Riverdale.
That would have been, like, really bad. That would be, like, unforgivable, where they're like, turns out Tony has been Langston Hughes this whole time.
They would do that, though.
Tony was Langston Hughes.
Anyway, Featherhead is upset with everyone involved. Cheryl gets them out of it by saying there are no rules about poems being read, and from now on she'll run them all by him. He's still pressed about it, but there's nothing he can do.
My favorite part of the scene was like, hey, you were faking being sick, and she's like, no, I felt, Tabitha's like, I did feel sick. I just, like, felt better pretty much immediately after you got here.
Exactly. So. She's like, I didn't lie.
Yeah.
It was just a little tummy ache. Everybody is very moved by the poem and Tony's words. One of their teachers starts a conversation about what happened and how the students feel about it. Tony speaks about her experience attending the trial. This was a surprisingly thoughtful scene, even if it was extremely on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know what? Shout out Mrs. Thornton. I don't think that a lot of teachers, cough, cough, Featherhead, and cough, cough, Dr. Werthers or whatever, would have done this type of thing in the classroom. Like, not every teacher would have done this.
I mean, if the GOP has their way, they won't do them now either.
No one will, ever. Yeah. So. We see somebody who looks like Midge, like, looks exactly like Midge in the comics.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But is, like, definitely not the actor that played Midge in, like, season two. So, like, we see her again in the background in the trailer. And so I'm just like, I really feel like that's Midge. And I think they're going to be like, hi, Midge.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's going to be wild because, bitch, yeah. Didn't you die?
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, so did Hal.
Exactly.
Hey, Hal, didn't you kill me?
You know what? Hal's back, so all the rules are off. All of his victims are alive now. Thank you.
Yeah. And, like, obviously we all know that this was, like, a horrible, terrible thing, but, like, especially hearing about him being 14 years old, that, like, bothers everybody in the classroom because that's younger than they are. And, like, I work in a middle school. I work with 14-year-olds every day, and I love them so much. Yeah. And that would be an upsetting thing to happen to someone who's in their 30s. But, like, it's extra upsetting because he was 14, and, like, that kills... It's just so sad.
Yeah, he was a baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was... Yeah. The scene, it was clunky, but I appreciate it for what it was.
Yeah.
Both Archie and Julian offer Veronica a ride after school, and she says, you know what? I'm a walk.
She's like, I love being this love triangle with two gingers, but... And I literally, like, in my notes, I was like, but which is the road less traveled by, Veronica? And then she picks walking, which I loved. But I wrote that joke before I saw, like, in my second rewatch, that they were literally studying that poem by Robert Frost on the blackboard in class, like, in the previous scene.
Oh my god.
And I was like, wait, she's literally taking the road less traveled by.
Well,
she is.
There's nothing like an on-the-nose reference, you know?
Yep.
Blanche's note on this next scene is, this scene was a little confusing, so please bear with me. I will.
Yeah, which is so fair, because I agree. It was confusing.
Yes. So, I'm gonna use my vast knowledge of Doctor Who logic to try and make this make sense.
Perfect.
Jughead is at Pops again, starting to doubt himself and even the fact that they went back in time. Tabitha walks in and sits down with him and says that she is the Tabitha from their timeline, not 1955. She's still Riverdale's guardian angel, but she can't take them all home yet. She explains that the comet did hit, but that they're alive. Moving everyone back to the past was her plan B when Cheryl couldn't save them. In order to get everyone home, Tabitha has to go through every timeline that got twisted up when the comet hit. Paraphrasing MLK, she says, the moral arc of this universe bends towards justice. And I'm sitting here going, did you really end this episode with the MLK quote, Riverdale writers room, go to jail.
I feel bad.
That was my contribution, not Blanche's.
Yeah, I feel bad that, like, I didn't know that was an MLK quote, so I had to Google it.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't say that it was MLK, so I had to look up who she was paraphrasing.
Yeah, I'm just gonna sound like a broken record if I keep going. Anyway.
Yeah.
She explains that it's Jughead and everyone else's job here to make the world a better place, so when they all finally get to go home, it's a better and more peaceful Riverdale. Jughead remembering the future is an anomaly, apparently, and it's dangerous for him to remember. Tabitha has to wipe his memory, including the memories he has of them together.
Yeah, so Blanche's note on this scene was just that it made her cry. And, like, I totally get why that would. Because it's sad. But I was so excited to see future Tabitha because I was like, yes, finally someone else who knows what's going on.
Yep.
And Jughead is like, they're trying to put me in the Sisters of Quiet Mercy, haha. And, you know, Jughead's like, what is this, the Flash sideways? Like, are we all lost? Yeah. Like, no spoilers, but, like, that's basically what he's asking. And I'm just like, so if we're back in the 50s, like, are Bitsy and Poppy around here from, like, the Witches of, like, that, what's the, like, the Cheryl episode?
Oh, like, the Ghost Train thing?
Yeah, no, the, like...
Oh, wait, no, not that.
The one where Betty and Cheryl kiss, but they're Bitsy and Poppy and they're not related, so it's fine.
Right.
That one. I'm okay. Like, are they around?
So, what my assumption is what Tabitha actually did is she pulled them out of their timeline and stuck them in a pocket universe.
Yeah.
So, they're sitting...
So, this is, like, a whole new thing.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know, like, this is the only kind of thing that makes sense because by throwing them back in time, she's already creating a paradox because if they're back in time, then they can't then be born later. I don't know if these writers...
The Jughead paradox.
Exactly. And I don't know if these writers are clever enough to figure it out that that's what they did. So I'm just going to rationalize it by saying that they are in fact in a pocket universe and Tabitha is just like, hey, while you're here, you might as well try and make racism not a thing a couple decades early. And I'm like, Bad news. Still a thing. But
yeah.
I guess she's basically saying be good to each other.
Yeah.
And do your best. Because I don't know how this at all could change the future if you're like working with regular time travel mechanics, because...
Right. If you're in a pocket universe, that's not going to change the original universe.
But if you're in the original universe, you've already changed the universe and there's no changing it back because you're now back in right. time where you're not supposed to exist.
Oh boy.
So, I don't know. The thing that I took away from this is that we no longer get any of our characters or plot lines from the first six seasons of this show, and we just have to watch this now.
Yeah, right. I literally, like, immediately when she was like, okay, now you have to forget, I was like, no, he's gonna be so boring. Don't. This is the thing that's interesting about him. So, here's my theory about Tabitha, is that now that 50s Tabitha is leaving, and she only told Jughead about it, maybe future Tabitha is still gonna be here, but she's like taking over for 50s Tabitha, gonna pretend to be 50s Tabitha, and then someone around here will still know what's going on.
I'm gonna let my silence speak for itself.
In a bad way or a good way?
Derogatory.
I just like want somebody to know what's happening.
So that's not what happens, because according to reviews, Tabitha is not in 2 or 3. So
I'm
we like, have no connection to the
first of all not having Tabitha.
Exactly.
Yeah. First of all, not having Tabitha. Second of all, no one knows what's happening. So like, where are the stakes then? Like, if nobody is there to tell me what like we're supposed to be feeling, then I don't know what to do. Then I'm just watching a brand new, like a whole new show instead of like at least somebody is from our timeline.
Robin, that's literally what it is. They
I'm mad.
They genuinely like were like, we've done six seasons of this show, but actually, we kind of got our show so twisted up and all of the relationships so twisted up that we kind of want to just start fresh. So we're going to reboot everything and take you back in time, undo everything there except for some of the core things, give you all new characters with all new personalities, and that's what you're going to watch for the final season.
This is the Flash sideways for the season, except we don't get any island storyline that tells us what's going on with the actual characters.
That's completely correct.
Which is what made season 6 like palatable.
Yes.
Not that it wasn't, but it's like if that whole, if season 6 of Lost was just the Flash sideways, we would all be confused and be like, I don't care about this.
Yeah.
What's going on with the characters I actually know and love?
From what I understand from interviews with the creatives, they basically just wanted to have, like, take one final shot at actually doing a live-action Archie show from the 50s with a little bit of, like, CW edge. And so this is...
And the CW edge is Betty doesn't know how to have sex and has to read about it in a book.
Correct. It's filled with bad information about safe sex, people stuck in the closet, and James Dean, I guess.
I'm just gonna be really mad if we finish this season in the 50s. Like, I cannot tell you how livid I will be if we finish this season and finish this whole story and we still didn't see what happened after that comment. I will be so mad.
Here's the thing. Do you remember how season 7 of The 100 was completely unrecognizable from the rest of the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's this.
I weirdly enough had more faith in these writers, which I don't know why I made this mistake again. You know what? I'll forgive you guys if you bring in Dr. Curdle Jr., okay?
Oh my god, that would be slay.
Just let me know. Thanks.
So, like, I think, like, it's just very fair to prepare ourselves and our listeners for the fact that, like, there are going to be things that we recognize in these characters. Like, oh yeah, okay, Cheryl is a lesbian. And Cheryl and Tony are drawn to each other. Betty and Archie are drawn to each other. You'll get, like, little glimpses of these relationships, like, from what I understand. But we are not watching our characters as we know them anymore.
That's why I really wanted it to be, like, we're here for 5 episodes, just like in Rivervale, and then we go back to the characters we actually, like, know and care about. I love these characters that we're seeing in the 50s, but they're not my characters because I haven't been watching these people for 6 seasons. I've been watching the people with all the 6 season memories. Like, where are all their memories, you know?
I was kind of hoping, I think it was Sam's idea last season, that they would start decade hopping, and I thought that was, like, such a fun idea.
That would have been so fun.
Like, they're stuck in some kind of like temporal causality and they keep resetting in new decades.
And if they keep,
and then I was like, oh, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, and if they keep moving, then I have more faith that they will eventually get back to where they're supposed to go. But if they just stay in the 50s, then like, when do they move back?
My suspicion is that we'll probably get back to the future in the penultimate episode.
Yeah, that's classic Riv.
Yeah, so like,
okay, well,
hey, maybe that's not true, but I'm going to temper my own expectations.
Yeah, and then the final episode is like an epilogue, and I don't know, that's where we see FP.
Please, if they get Skeet back for even one episode, and they...
I will be so grateful. I will forgive you for everything you've ever done. I will.
I know, right? Not the Emmett Till stuff, though.
Yeah, right. Like, Rass, I'm still mad at you for, like, everything else, but, like, I love you.
Like, I've never said anything bad about Rass. Rass is my friend.
Yeah, not one thing ever, no.
No, oh my god, of course not.
Yeah, why would I?
And that is where we are...
Nice guy.
But fallible human women with... we like to ship things first and yeah, be people second. Yeah. So true. So, yeah. So there's that dovetail. So Tabitha, I really like this. Tabitha and Jughead share a kiss, and this erases Jughead's memories, which is like, okay, we already did this on...
That's always how it is.
Yeah, that's always how it is. I remember when you guys did this in Doctor Who. It's deeply romantic. That's how I know it's Endgame.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very cool lighting. Like, the lighting is really cool. Blanche said that it might be a reference to Bound. I don't know if that's a TV show or a movie. I should have looked it up, but I didn't. I haven't seen the film and or series, but I trust Blanche with everything I have. So I'm sure it is.
It could be. In my head, it was a reference to the two big kisses in Doctor Who, which was...
Oh, of course it was.
Nine and Rose... Well, remember when Nine took the power of the timelines from Rose with a kiss, and then River and the Doctor had to kiss to seal away a pocket universe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jughead races back to the train car as his memories of the future are disappearing. He wants to write down everything he can, but forgets before he gets past these three words: bend towards justice. Also, the iconic beanie has appeared on his desk.
Yeah.
So I guess the thesis of this season is follow MLK's teachings, and I'm like, okay, I mean, okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah, either way, I'm gonna watch it. But I almost thought, like, when he was like rushing back and like writing on his typewriter, I was like, oh my god, I'm like waiting, because
he's the author of the Archie comics.
Well, I keep being like, every time there's something like this, I'm always like, these are the chapters that he's been writing this whole time, this is why they're called chapters.
Exactly.
And so, like, in this moment, I was like, these are the chapters, and that's why they got weirder and weirder and more unhinged, is because he was losing his memory as he was writing them.
Exactly. And then they were like, no.
But that didn't seem to be right.
I was so sure they were going to reveal that he was about to start writing the Archie comic series.
Yeah.
But, like, I that's got to be the end game.
Well, it's going to be so cool in the finale. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, the hat shows up. No idea why or where it came from. My guess is that Tabitha took it out of the thing somehow before him and, like, beforehand, and had, like, given it to him somehow as, like, I don't know, a small reminder of where he came from or something. I don't know. She's just like, it's dangerous for you to know things, but here's a little hint, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think it's like a memento, and it'll probably play a role later in the season with, like, bringing everyone's memories back.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode. We are going out with the same title card we started with.
Yep, that was it.
So...
Woo! I love recording about Riverdale with you. I really do.
Me too. I mean, the most fun part of watching Riverdale is then trying to explain Riverdale to other people.
Yeah.
So getting to talk about it with you is hilarious.
Yes. And I'm thrilled to get to do this for the final season. I've been saying, but, like, when this show is over, I will have lost a part of myself, but I also will finally be able to breathe again, you know?
Yeah, you will finally know peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go into segments. Our first segment is, what did Blanche think? And this is where I'm going to insert Blanche's little voicemail that she sent us about some of her longer form thoughts. Here it is.
What's up, Riverdalians? It's me, it's Blanche. I'm a 22-year-old pet caretaker from Massachusetts, and media consumption is my only hobby. If you remember me from last season, I did co-host the episode Biblical last year, and I'll be doing the notes for all of this season, and I have a lot of thoughts about it, so buckle in. So first of all, I have a lot of mixed feelings about this episode. I did enjoy it because I missed everyone so much. I loved seeing Jughead and Tabitha. I loved seeing the parents again. Not you, Hal, but more on that later. And I think you guys touched on this at the end of last season, but I wish it was not a realistic 50s universe. I wish there was no homophobia, no racism, no sexism. And some might disagree with me in sake of the argument that that's irresponsible storytelling. I get where you're coming from, I do, but the thing is, it's Riverdale. There is a time and place for stories about those things, and I do think that they're very important, but I don't think Riverdale is where to tell them. And I am a gay woman, so I definitely understand the struggle. But I also come to Riverdale for escapism. I'm not going to enjoy oppression storyline after oppression storyline. But yeah, I'll shut up now. But I really just wanted to watch some happy classic Archie stories set in an ideal version of 1955. Like, couldn't we have the aesthetics and diversity? Anyways, back to the episode. I do need to talk about Hot Dog because I'm a huge dog person and being around dogs is my job. And also because he genuinely is one of my favorite characters in the comics. What the hell kind of dog is that here? That's obviously not a sheepdog. He kind of looks like Winn-Dixie from that movie. But if anyone knows, it's bugging me. Please tell me. And I'm also mad that he was only in that one scene. And speaking of being mad, why does Jughead have to live alone? Where is Gladys? Where is FP? And why is he constantly the only one of the group who has no present parents? We get so many of the parents back this episode, but no one even mentioned Gladys or FP. And I also need to talk about Alice. She was only in that one scene. Hal was also there. I'm upset about this too, because he's the one with the news show now, and this makes me so angry. I love seeing the little snippet scenes of Alice giving us the news every season. They make me so happy, because, like, that was her whole thing. She's always wanted to work for RIVW, but now it has to be Hal's show because she's a woman and he's a man, and I hate it here. And lastly, Fred. I'm just not sure about how I feel about the reason for his death. I think In Memoriam is a really special episode, and it's such a good tribute to Fred and to Luke. And I don't know, it just feels wrong that they're changing it for the 50s plot. And maybe this is just rubbing me the wrong way because I'm anti-military, but couldn't they just have kept it the same? Like, I'm pretty sure people still died in car crashes in 1955. But yeah, those are my big thoughts. And I know it sounds like I had a lot of complaints about the episode. Which is fair. My favorite characters are all in Parentdale, so how could I not complain? No, but I really did enjoy going back to Riverdale for an hour and getting to see all the teens again. It was a lot of fun. It does kind of feel like a totally different show now, but it still has a lot of heart and it has all the same characters, and I think that's what matters. Also, if anybody is interested in my theory, I think that everyone is going to remember their present day lives, but they're still gonna be stuck in the 50s, and the back half of the season will be them trying to, like, navigate that. So yeah, those are my thoughts. Thanks for listening, and thank you to Robin and Brittany for having me this season and having me write your notes. Okay, love you, bye.
She's a goddess.
And that was Blanche. Thanks so much to Blanche, as always, so much for writing our notes for us. It truly has made, like, a million differences. So, thank you so much. I love you.
Yeah, Blanche doing our summaries is stronger than the Marines, honestly.
Yeah.
You know?
My first segment is, which character needs a hug the most? Oh, man, I didn't even think about this.
I know the answer to this.
I'm going to give it to... Who would you give it to?
Future Tabitha.
Future Tabitha. Yeah, I was going to give it to regular Tabitha.
You know what? Tabitha in general.
I want to give it... Can I give it to a off-screen character / historical person?
Who?
Can I give it to Mamie Till?
Oh, my God. As an apology for the writers doing this to her child.
And also, sad stuff happened.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to just give her a hug.
Robin's cutting political commentary. Sad stuff happened.
Sad stuff happened and she needs a hug.
It's Riverdale. And my segment is, which MILF was the most badass? I'm gonna be honest, no one really served badass this episode, but I'm gonna give it to Mary because I just feel like she needs something.
Yeah. Hey, did you talk to Sam about what she's shipping the most this episode?
I didn't, but I know she's gonna say Shoni, so that's what I'm saying for her.
Okay, next time I forgot also, so next time we'll make sure to get the real Sam opinion. But yeah, she probably is gonna say Shoni. For this one.
And also, if you want, go read Sam's season 7 review of Riverdale on collider.com.
Yeah, I'll put it in the description.
Excellent.
All right, we got a hold of Sam, and she said that for episode 1, Sam is shipping the most Jugatha because she said, and I quote, that kiss was soulmate behavior. And I'm inclined to agree. My next two segments are, is Chick dead or is Hiram dead? I'm straight up getting rid of those because those are no longer relevant. I don't know if Chick even exists, so that is going away. Although, if we end up getting Hamburger Jughead next episode, I'm gonna have to bring back Asexual Jughead? I'm just gonna have to because...
I feel like you gotta.
If he's comics Jughead.
Like, we're back in the 50s, you gotta.
Yeah, we're bringing it back to season one with asexual Jughead, ??
Go for it.
Now it's time for our best line award. My best line award goes to Jughead for...
Awesome. I mean, swell.
That's such a cute moment. I love it's Jugatha. And then my honorable mention has to go to Cheryl for Jacuse.
Jacuse.
It was so good. It was so Cheryl.
Madeline's so good. I love her.
She's so good.
Mine goes to Veronica for...
I've been to a lot of movie sets, so I know a good prop when I see one. And these are okay.
I love this absolute self-read. It was so good.
These are okay.
And also, Blanche gets a favorite line award now that she's helping us out so much. And Blanche's favorite line award goes to Jughead for...
You're not going
to
beat me up, are you? Because you're really violent in the future.
I feel bad for Archie.
I like that one.
Like, I know that, like, literally Archie is, like, super entitled in the next scene. But also, like, I feel bad for him being like, you're in a war and also you hurt people.
You're really violent. And Archie's like, huh?
Huh? I am? Okay.
If it helps, you're only violent because you're also invincible and you have superpowers.
Yeah, right. It's true. And as for the trailer, the blurb for next episode, Riverdale Sock Hop. Riverdale has Sock Hop. It's around the corner and Archie has set his sights on taking Veronica to the dance.
Robin,
Betty is confused. Mm-hmm.
What's a sock hop?
Sock hop is like a dance.
Why is it called a sock hop?
I don't know. Do you know?
Yes.
Okay, please tell me the etymology of sock hop.
You literally go in your socks.
Oh, cute. I want to go to a sock hop.
It's like to protect the floors.
You just hop around in your socks.
There's no shoes on the flooring, I guess, because maybe epoxy wasn't as good back in the day. So You do a dance in your socks because it's easier on the floors.
That is so cute. You know what that is? Bringing it back to the joke at the beginning of the episode. You know who's going to be doing a sock hop soon?
Who?
That girl who was dancing whose shoe came undone.
Oh my god.
She be sock hopping.
Come on, full circle.
Betty is confused when gay Kevin appears uninterested in taking things to the next level with her. She's like, I'm confused. How is this possible? Elsewhere, Jughead takes aim at Pep Comics and Tony attempts to convince Cheryl to let Fangs perform at the sock hop. I mean, clearly he does so because that is like the whole trailer. So we see someone plugging in an amp. Fangs is on stage. He says, good evening, Riverdale High. We see Tony happy and she's sitting with that Walker guy whose name I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's Clay Walker.
Texas Ranger. Got it.
Yep. And we see a shot of everyone dancing at the dance. We see a serpent S on the drum set, which is very cool, which is like, so clearly Tony knows Fangs and that's how she gets Cheryl to let him perform at the sock hop. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're both still serpents, which is great.
Oh, I love the serpents.
Oh my god, I just remembered that Tony and Fangs are married?
They also have a child?
I forgot about that. Oh man, you can't
remember their child?
I'm not freaking getting any Anthony content this season! Boo!
No, they... Remember when they had a grown child that they, like, super sped up the aging of?
No!
Because he was the chosen one?
Oh... No, I forgot about that.
This is why I had such a hard time with this episode, because we had so much fun with the stupid shit they did last season!
Yeah. So Veronica asks Archie to dance, which is, you know, his like biggest dream. And we see Featherhead watching Shoni. Cheryl and Tony are like totally dancing innocently, like next to each other, not even like face to face or anything. And he's like watching, is like, I can tell that there's some homoerotic subtext here.
I'm like, I am collecting my Shoni endgame. I do not care.
Yeah. Cheryl says this means war. And we see like blurry in the background, someone that looks like Midge. I think she's sitting behind her. Mm-hmm. So like, I guess we'll get the answer next episode whether they are calling that girl Midge or not, or if they're gonna name her something else like Featherhead. You know, Featherhead is not Weatherby, so they named him something else. But we see Kevin and Betty dancing. I usually, when this happens, I say Varchi or I say Shoni or something, but I was like, Kevin and Betty don't have a ship name because that's gross. So I guess I'll just call them Kevin and Betty. I don't know.
They are certainly in a lavender relationship, aren't they?
Yeah. Betty asks Kev if everything is okay in his car. Fang says, find somebody to hold on to because we're about to shake things up. We see Kevin slow dancing with Betty, but looks at Clay while he's doing so. And then we see Jughead looking surprised, eating like a tart or something.
Fun fact about Clay, he is in fact Kevin's actual husband in the comics.
I feel like I knew that. Love that.
We're collecting so many end games, Robin.
We love it. So, hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode.
Hey, and you know what? Our music was Ruminal by Good News Tunes.
And thanks to everyone who shared space with us while we recorded this podcast. I want to shout out to my dog.
I'm going to shout out to my wife.
Nice.
And shout out to my wife for just being a good lady. I just want her to feel loved.
I mean, me too.
She's a nice lady, and she works hard.
Thank you, as always, to Sheila Daly, aka Blanche, for writing our notes for us. You're a life changer.
Thank you, Queen, so much. I love that Blanche is, like, our third, like, our benefactor, sort of.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This, like, mysterious figure. Like, I'm loving this journey for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pick whichever one you want. I know which
one. Oh, thank you. Okay. If you're a fan of Stranger Things... If you're a fan of Stranger Things, like, you gotta keep that in, because it's just so obvious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Me pick Stranger Things? No. What? If you're a fan of Stranger Things, we like to talk about that show too. We are working on our season 4 podcast right now, and it'll probably be done by the time season 5 comes out. Who's to say?
Yeah, that is a goal. That is a goal for sure. If you're a fan of The 100, we like to talk about that show too. Lots has happened over there since the last time we spoke on this feed. We recorded 4 to 7 seasons 4 to 7 as they were airing, and then we're going back to do the good old days. We did season 3, and we're currently in the midst of season 2, which is actually a lot of fun because I love season 2. It's my favorite season.
I am not there because I pretend that show didn't exist, except season 2, which and that existed. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a fan of Lost, we like to talk about that show too. It is our longest and most big brain podcast. So if you're looking for still jokes, but a little bit more insight than this one, go and check that out. We have guests over there and a spoiler section at the end, so you can listen along when you're watching for the first time if you want to. And actually, it would be my deep honor if you would do so. So we are currently doing season 4 over there.
Yeah, like if you want to watch a good TV show, watch Lost.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to watch a bad TV show like we do, keep watching Riverdale.
If you want to learn about what we mean by the Flash sideways, get all the way to season 6 of Lost. You got time.
Oh my god, no, you really should though.
This season is so long. Yeah.
You can follow the Fictionados on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram.
Yeah. Our Patreon, like I said earlier, is patreon.com/theafficionados. If you like what we do here, please consider donating, because it is expensive with our money, but it's also expensive with our time. So we really appreciate your help, and you can help us pay Blanche, which we, of course, are doing for her lovely work that she's doing. And like I said, remember to join at the $1 level for early access. And hey, 1 month free trial. Get going.
And like, hey, listen, we had a podcast before all of those gross white guys with bad takes had a podcast.
True.
So like, you'd be supporting true pioneers.
Yeah, it's true.
You can follow me on Twitter at Britannia, which is BRITTANIA with an underscore at the end.
And you can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey. That's RobynEJFFREY pretty much everywhere. The next episode is episode 702. It's called Skip, Hop, and Thump. It doesn't seem to be tied to a piece of media, weirdly. I think there's only like a handful of episodes of this show that aren't tied to a piece of media. But when I looked it up, this is from the Riverdale Wiki. The phrase where the chapter takes its name dates from the early 1700s. It originally referred to an exercise or game involving hopping, skipping, and jumping. Since the mid-1800s, the expression has been used figuratively to mean short distances. Hop, skip, and a jump.
Oh, a hop, skip, and a jump!
Yeah, yeah. Got but it. Weirdly enough, this is called Skip, Hop, and Thump. So obviously hop is about the sock hop, but
got it.
Who knows? Okay, love you, bye!
Okay, love you, bye!